Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
No! Don't eat that! I saw it moving in the refrigerator.
Here, Jason. Take some.
There is something alive in there.
They're good for us, Jason. They kill the bad things inside us.
Must be a side effect of eating too much dessert.
It's gonna kill you! It's gonna kill you all!
We are not alone.
Tonight, America is in grave danger.
So are you prepared to say on the air that you've actually seen people devoured by the stuff?
Oh, hell yes. And what's worse, I've seen what's left of them when the stuff gets through and comes back out.
Coming soon for you, the stuff from New World Pictures.
Welcome to the show, Larry Cohen. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Oh, sure. I'm wonderful being here.
So, as an American film producer, director, and screenwriter, you're probably best known for some of your horror and sci-fi horror films, especially during the 70s and 80s, I guess, but also screenwriting in the 2000s with things like Phone Booth and Cellular and Captivity. What's been happening for you in the last few years? Since that time.
We finished a picture in Chicago 2 days ago.
Okay, wow.
We finished a picture called Delusion.
Delusion.
Thriller, and we shot it entirely in Chicago and had a great time with wonderful Chicago actors and Chicago crew. I just love the city. It's a fabulous city, and the skyline and the architecture is terrific, and the city's vibrant and full of energy. And I just thought I wanted to make a movie in Chicago, so I wrote one and we shot it. And Delusion is just going into the editing stage now.
Coming to Australia, how do you feel about, I guess, The Stuff in particular and Maniac Cop is something that is a draw card even now? What are your feelings about those films still?
Well, I enjoy those films. They're just part of a cycle of films I made over the years that all kind of follow the same theme. We took objects and images that are usually very benevolent and very, very sweet and wonderful and nurturing, and like a baby, for example, and we turned the baby into a monster. Then we took ice cream, which everybody loves, and we turned that into something of a monster. And then we took a police officer who's a symbol of law and order, and we turned him into a monster. And then we took an ambulance, which is a vehicle of mercy, and we turned that into something horrible. And we went on and on. Even when God told me to, we took the deity and religion and turn that into something monstrous and frightening and horrible and weird. So basically they've all followed the same circle, the same cycle, different treatments, but always they're taking something that you never expect to terrorize you.
Yeah.
And then turning it into something frightening and fun also. As the films progressed, as the years went by, I put more humor and into the film. I guess I was just getting more humorous in my nature.
You've been doing this for a while. There's that theme of, like you say, things that you believe are normal and, you know, lovely and safe and warm and that safety, and you've taken that away. It's Alive is probably one of the most iconic movie posters when it comes to horror.
It's alive. It's alive.
Can you hear me? It can't be saved. It's gotta die.
It's alive. It's alive.
Why are you so anxious to be the one to do it?
It's alive.
Doctor! David, it's out of here!
It's alive.
Nobody knows how this thing happened. It's really a matter of speculation, and I think perhaps that's for the best. After all, if we find out that the cause is medication that we manufacture, and it was administered over a long period of time, won't it?
What do your interests recommend?
Absolute destruction of this thing.
It went down the storm drains.
That's how it can travel the length of the city without anybody seeing it.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. They stole my baby. Come on, get down. Did you see it? Did you see it? What does it look like?
What are you afraid of?
Get those cameras out of my face, please. I got no comment. That had nothing to do with this.
Will you get that thing out of my face? Get out of the way!
He could have killed you. You know why he didn't? You know why he didn't kill you?
Look out, Charlie!
You've never been exposed to radioactivity in radioactive material or undergone extensive x-rays.
No, Doctor, I told you.
Well, we can't rule out genetic damage.
My department has already cautioned the police about excessive violence. If it could be dispatched with a bullet, or better still, some kind of a gas. Undoubtedly, it is very small, and any kind of bodily harm, especially from gunshots or explosives.
In other words, you want me to sign away the body, is that it?
Well, it's your right. After all, you are the child's father.
I remember seeing it quite a while ago, and it just stays with you, that image of the bassinet, the basket and the baby's hand just hanging like that.
Well, that was a wonderful ad campaign, and but originally Warner Brothers didn't want to reveal that the picture was about a monster baby. They thought people wouldn't go to see a picture about a monster baby, so they tried to hide it in the initial campaign, but I finally prevailed upon them to try and sell the picture for what it was. And as soon as they did, the box office became tremendous, and we grew the number one picture in America.
Well, it was phenomenal. I guess it came after a little bit of, The Exorcist and that sort of fame.
That's what I told Warner Brothers. I said, if you can have a movie that you release that has a child masturbating with a crucifix, then I think you can have a monster baby.
Why not?
Talk about bad taste. I mean, please. So they finally listened to me and took a shot at it. And then as soon as they did, the picture just took off like a bullet.
So it did very well indeed. But it was curious, is that, 10 or 12 years later, the people who brought New Line, who brought Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, they had to change their posters and imagery of a fetus that was, Freddy Krueger's baby. Sort of like going backwards. The 70s did seem to be a time when you could definitely maybe have more freedom to express things. I don't know what you think, but
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Actually, I thought that one of the Nightmare on Elm Street's pirated some of the It's Alive idea by having showing Freddy Krueger's birth. But that was, they were doing It's Alive all over again. But, I consider it flattery when people imitate what I've done. So I didn't get mad at anybody.
You don't get mad at them?
No.
In honor of the work that you pioneered, Maniac Cop being another one, which is going to be playing here, of course, as part of the Monster Fest. And what will you be saying to people? What sort of inspiration will you be telling people to focus on, horror films or thrillers?
I'm going to tell people to focus on whatever film they want to make. I mean, I wouldn't tell people that they have to make a horror film or a love story or a comedy. Everyone should make what they want to make, and they should be sure that they pick something that they really want to do, because sometimes you only get one shot at this, It's tough to get distribution on pictures today, since there are so many independent pictures being made because of the availability of digital equipment and the low cost of shooting something on a digital basis. So there's a lot of competition and very few places to play. So You have to make something you really care about and you're willing to devote your time to for a reason. Not just to say, I made a movie, but to make a movie that means something to you and has some chance of making it. You should also try and figure out in advance how you're going to sell the picture. What's the poster going to look like? What's the trailer going to look like? What's right. the ad campaign going to look like? The radio spot. How do you sell this picture? A subject that anybody will want to see? Or is it something so depressing that people would stay away?
How do you pitch something like that? It sounds like you yourself, with your films, you've thought up the entire, not just what the film is about and the stories and everything to do with the film, but also how it's going to be seen in the public eye. Is that, I don't know if that's normal for a director or a producer.
Well, I think it's
doing it themselves.
Those people who have success in it take into consideration the fact that they have to know how to sell their picture.
You'd think so.
Yes, of course.
You'd hope so.
It's great to make a good picture, but it's terrible to have nobody see it.
That brings me to probably one of my all-time favorites. As a kid, I watched it on VHS repetitively, and that is The Stuff that came out in 1985. Now, this is Plane as well, also on Friday the 2nd of November. Now, The Stuff was pretty daring, I think. Quite a simple idea. What was the inspiration there?
Well, I saw so much of the public being poisoned and killed by products that are put out by the American industry. And I suppose this is not only confined to America. I suppose that Great Britain, France, and Italy, they all have their products that they put out there. Everybody was selling cigarettes, and the cigarette companies were really gearing their advertising to young people. During World War II, they were giving away free cigarettes to all the soldiers, so they all came back from the war addicted to cigarettes, and probably the cigarette companies kill more American boys than the Germans and the Japanese combined. And they knew the damage, and they knew what the tests showed, and they covered it up. And they advertised on television and on radio. They advertised on programs that appeal to children, young people, and advertised with ads that would appeal to kids. So all of this was very, very calculated. This was not something that just accidentally happened. These very, very successful executives with their beautiful homes and their kids in college and their lovely wives with all the jewelry they could wear, they're all making their money by killing American boys and girls. I saw that and I said, well, you know, if you make a movie about that, nobody's going to go see it. But if you make a movie, you turn it into a fantasy, a thriller, and you have it. Let's take ice cream. Let's take ice cream, which is probably bad for you to start with anyhow. But if you're worrying about cholesterol and a heart problem, but let's just take ice cream one step further and create a monstrous ice cream that's being sold to the public with commercials and all kinds of advertising and promotional devices. So we created this product, and I thought it was a pretty attractive product, actually, with the packaging.
Yeah, the way that you've done the product and the whole marketing, it's so believable. I remember when I first saw it, I thought, this is incredible. No one's done this before at that time, and it was way before Adbusters and, you know, any sort of radicalism and anti-advertising. You'd already done it
ahead. I wanted the studio, New World, which was releasing the picture, to advertise the product on television for a couple of weeks before the picture, and so people would think that it was a real product that was coming on the market. And they go to their supermarket or the grocer and ask to buy it, be told that they don't know what they're talking about, you know. And then after 2 weeks of advertising the product, we put on a commercial showing that it's really a horror movie. And
right.
I thought this would be a great way to create a lot of stir. But the studio wouldn't do it.
That's a shame. That would happen now, and particularly with social media you have now, it would go viral in a matter of seconds.
That's right. That's what you could do today. You could put it out on the internet, and everybody would know about this new product, but they wouldn't know it was a horror movie, and then you'd bring it on them. Everybody would laugh, and then they'd go buy a ticket, which is...
Which is ideal.
Because I'd be in the booth selling them the ticket. It would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, look, I love the stuff, and I've always imagined what it tastes like. It's more of a creamy dessert, isn't it? A frozen dessert, is it more?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's non-calorie. And
perfect. You know, yeah.
And if you eat the stuff, you're not hungry for anything else. It's wonderful. Enough is never enough.
No, it's the stuff. Now, Maniac Cop is the other one that's playing here at Melbourne at the wonderful Monster Pictures Monster Fest. And, I mean, just looking at the cast, it takes me back again, but when you look at the cast there, it's pretty wonderful. 1988, and you've got the awesome Bruce Campbell, Tom Atkins, and Laura Landon, who's going to be out here as well. And that was directed by William, is it Lustig, who did
Bill
Maniac.
Lustig, yeah. Yeah, Bill Lustig, who did Maniac. There's a remake of Maniac.
Yes. That's also showing, yeah. I've already seen that. I do like my horror, so I was pretty impressed and stunned by it. Hobbits don't normally behave like that, so it was very interesting casting. What was your part in this? It was, you wrote it, did you, or you produced it?
Yeah, I wrote it. Yeah, I wrote it, and I was the producer of the film. And we made three of them, and the first two I really thought were good, very good. And the second one, very good. Yep. Third one, I didn't like at all because the production company that we were getting the money from, they interfered and they changed the script. And I think they fired Bill Lustig towards the end of the picture and put somebody else on. And the picture didn't really represent what we wanted. But the first two pictures were quite entertaining and clever, I thought. And Bill and I cooked it up with him over a lunch.
Oh, cool.
We met at a film festival in America, had a bite to eat, and we cooked up the idea because I knew he'd done Maniac. So yeah. I just said, how about Maniac Cop? And you have the right to remain silent forever. So he loved that idea. And next thing I know, he called me up and said he had the money to make the picture. I had no choice, but I had to sit down and write it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to disappoint him. So I wrote it, and since he raised the money, he got to direct it. And I took on the role of producer. So, anyway, we made the picture. It was successful. We made two more.
Were you involved in the other two as much? Or?
Okay. I was involved in the second one, but not much in the third one.
Okay, excellent. What seems to be a thread with these particular types of films, these two especially, is you really seem to be reflecting American culture at that time that is still probably more than relevant today.
Well, I don't know if it's not relevant today. I mean, all kinds of problems with the police today. Oh, isn't there a week that goes by that somebody doesn't complain that they were brutalized by the police and usually have a video to prove it?
There is something in the streets.
Hey!
Something in the shadows. Something in the dark. That kills.
You're trying to tell me two kids did this?
She's got a statement from an eyewitness that said she saw the kids attack her.
Officer! Oh, thank God it's you.
The head was unstable and there was a sudden deceleration injury.
You think a cop did this?
Why not?
You automatically assumed that it was a police officer instead of some lunatic son of a bitch dressed up like a cop.
He didn't kill the girl. He wanted a witness. He'll kill again. He enjoys killing.
He strikes without cause. Without mercy.
Who's he killing? Pushers? Hustlers?
Help me! What?
Innocent people.
Maniac Cop?
He may be getting information from inside the department.
That means he is one of us.
When the killer is a cop, there's danger in every badge.
You're not gonna get me.
Suspicion in every uniform.
Since when is my personal life any of your business?
Since your wife was found dead in a motel room.
When a cop turns killer, no one is safe.
You see a cop, you cross to the other side of the street.
He'll find you wherever you are.
Vice Squad.
He'll destroy you, whoever you are.
Broke out of your cell, you killed them all.
It wasn't me, it was somebody else. I didn't do any of this.
Now they think they got the guilty man, so you'll be free to get to the mayor and the commission.
Reason cannot stop him. Bullets cannot kill him. This is one maniac you'll have to face alone or die. The choice is yours. You can fight him. Remain silent forever. Starring Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead, Maniac Cop.
I mean, there's a lot of action. And, of course, there's been whole generations of people in America who who've always thought of the police as the enemy. Minority people who've always been terrorized by the police.
And suffered, under oppression.
I never thought that a cop was a nice guy, but rather a cop was some kind of a bully going to harass them, stop them when they were driving simply because of the color of their skin. That's nothing new. We just took it and personified it into one horrific, monstrous cop. If you've ever been stopped for a traffic ticket, you've probably met a maniac cop. Yeah.
But this is scary because of that authority, and you're supposed to obey it and believe and trust in it.
There's a lot of pretty girls who can tell you that they have been harassed by police officers. Anyway, it wasn't too much of a stretch to create Maniac Cop.
It's just great to revisit these films again. And, of course, they're going to be playing at the Monster Pictures awesome Monster Film Festival from the 31st of October to the 9th of November.
I'd love to shoot a movie in Australia, and I've got quite a few scripts that might work in Australia very well.
Right.
So if anybody over there wants to make a Larry Cohen movie, I'm the guy to do it because I'm Larry Cohen. So let's see what happens. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Maybe that can be remade, repackaged, and re-released.
Oh, yes. You mean
the film.
Packaging of the stuff?
Yeah, and actually make an actual dessert. That would be awesome.
Well, it could be.
Without the toxicness.
It could be made and merchandised if anybody wants to eat something that has been advertised as killing you, but that might be
We do it all the time, don't we?
I think that one of the attractions of cigarettes is that it is dangerous. Mm. And that makes it sexy for some reason. So that's why people like to smoke. But
doesn't make you sexy later on. No.
Yeah. Anyway, my dear, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much, Larry Cohen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that was the awesome director, producer, screenwriter, the auteur of wonderful B-grade horror and sci-fi, but maybe not really B-grade movies, I don't think so. Wonderful horror films like The Stuff that came out in 1985 and Maniac Cop, which came out in 1988. Larry Cohen from the US. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Life can take you on some pretty strange journeys and leave you feeling a little bit twisted. Take some time to embrace the darkness, so you can fully perceive the brightness of the light. Join us on Sci-Fi and Scream every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.